But now I can tell you that I understand where they were coming from. I'll be talking about an assessment process that engaged the community, also working on empowering local organizations, and I will also show our use of GIS in my presentation. So, it does all come together. I'd first like to thank my co-authors. There were a lot of folks at our local health department who helped work on this piece, and Allison Taylor is here with us today. So thank you, Allison, as one of our primary people on community health status. In terms of any disclosures, I don't have any financial relationships, but I believe I'm supposed to report that I was part of CDC when I actually went through and helped do this assessment, and we did go through the IRB process, and that's our HSR number. So currently, Alabama is top of the charts for some not so nice things. And I just wanted to kind of report where we are now, although most of the data I'll be reporting and looking at is from 2005, 2006. So the reason that we looked at titling this Against All Odds is because we have an interesting challenge in Jefferson County, Alabama. Our challenge when I arrived in Alabama was really to engage about 660,000 people across 1,100 square miles, which isn't so big if you're in Texas. It's divided up into over 34 municipalities and 12 school systems. So I had to look at this as an opportunity as a health educator to really engage the community and to empower these local organizations to pull together and try to form this public health system. My good news to report is that spring of this year, the director of our local prevention research center, Linda Goodson, did kind of an external evaluation of our process and said some very nice things about how we have been able to move forward in our county for the public health system. And so there was some success. And I think that one of the things I wrote into this abstract is how important it is to recognize the successes as we achieve them in public health, despite where your rankings are in the state or in the country. Okay, you may be number one in syphilis, but you're still doing really well on your coalition. So always a good thing to keep in mind. How many people here are familiar with mobilizing for action through planning and partnerships, or MAP? Okay, that is the process that we undertook. I highly recommend it if you're looking to engage a local, a small community, for whatever sort of public health arena, and really understanding where the community is at, where your public health system is at, in addressing various needs. So in 2002 or so, the local health department in Birmingham, Alabama, which is a county jurisdiction, Jefferson County, determined that they wanted to go through a large county community assessment process. So that's really the organizing for success stage in the MAP process. In 2004, I joined JCDH as a CDC public health prevention specialist, and we pulled in community members that had already been somewhat engaged in this process and had some sort of a partnership relationship with the local health department, and we did the visioning session. What I'm going to talk to you about today is much more about the assessments, which we did in 2005, 2006, the strategic issues, goals, and now we're kind of where we are with the action cycle, a brief view on that. But I did want to give you this bigger perspective of what the whole MAP process entails. So here's a good GIS map for you, Gina. This is where we did our focus groups for the community themes and strengths assessment of the MAP process. Again, there's 34 municipalities, so we really had to figure out how we're going to try and make sure we engage the whole county in this process. We did relatively well. We did convenience focus groups. So it was churches that we were already engaged in, or kind of word of mouth, snowball effect, if you will, for those of you who are into those kind of theories. Organizations that we had already worked with from the health department, we had 7 school public health interns help us out with those. So that was a huge help in terms of staff resources. This is a GIS map of the participant responses to our evaluation surveys by zip code. So it breaks it down. We did pretty well with the density of the county and representing. You can see off to the west of the county, there was no one in our focus groups. It is, by some definition, rural in that area. And we did try, but we did not get people out from Western Jefferson County. So we covered pretty well the demographics and age. Our target was really anyone over the age of 18. And we got people from the age of 18 to 85. So we felt good about that. In terms of income levels, we also really tried to make sure that we were engaging the lower income groups, but not, you know, leaving out those in higher income levels. I thought it was interesting that we missed some of the upper middle incomes between 50 and 75,000 a little bit, but we were able to engage quite a number in the less than 15,000, and our median income is 36,000 in our county. So when we got back to the table with these focus groups, and we had 211 participants in 22 different groups, we had to figure out what we were going to do with this data. So I wanted to give you a sense of how we approach this, and I think that every community has to approach this in their own way. We decided to use the socio-ecological model and divide up, as we culled through all of the data, we put it into Atlas TI, which is a great qualitative data software tool. And we had these wonderful 7 MPH students typing up all of the quotes from the focus groups and then trying to categorize them to 5,000 themes at first, and we finally culled it down to about 20, 25 themes. So we then categorized those into individual levels of insurance, including lack of insurance or not having dental insurance, you know, needing services, specific insurance issues, chronic diseases, language barriers. And we did the interpersonal themes. We found substance abuse to be a major issue, nutrition, access to food to be a major issue, and access to recreation, particularly for youth. At the community level, we found that there were many cultural barriers. Jobs were an issue, and this was before the recession. And then community togetherness was a major concern of the community. At the organizational level, the community really responded that they found that churches and schools were a wonderful way of engaging their community. And so as we were looking for recommendations on how to move forward, we were essentially suggested to work through both churches and schools. Again, we have 12 school systems in our county. So when we work through schools, we're working with 12 superintendents. And actually, during the assessment, another school system was created. So we went from 11 to 12. And it is very difficult because they're all dealing with different things in their little areas of the county. At the government level, again, we have many municipalities. We have a mayor's association. We also have a Jefferson County Commission. We don't have a county manager as of yet. We're hoping to have one soon. So in working on traffic, transportation, safety and crime, illegal dumping and trash, those sorts of things, it is very difficult to work at the entire jurisdiction level for us. We have a nominal bus system. I have been told it takes about an hour and a half to get to where you need to go that may only be 20 minutes away, mostly because they go to one central spot before dispersing. We have a lot of safety issues, safety concerns, perception of safety issues in our county. And litter we've been working on desperately to try and get rid of off our county roads. I actually don't know where this quote is from. I apologize for that. But basically, using the 5 levels of community interaction, we decided that we could group the central public health themes coming out of this assessment and that we could frame the interventions to fully impact the many aspects of community health. We felt very confident in this kind of grouping and being able to move from those groupings to impact this entire kind of insane community health system. If you haven't ever seen this display before, this is a commonly used diagram of what the public health system is and how many people it engages. And we really had to use this as a selling point to our elected officials, hospitals, schools, churches, parks and rec, to tell them you are part of the public health system. We know that you're related to us. You know, come on board and be part of this. So it's been a selling point all along. So we did pull those partners together. We actually had about 62 different organizations come into the room for a local public health system assessment. This is our scores for the essential public health services across Jefferson County. So we didn't do so well, but I've been told most counties don't. So that makes me feel somewhat better. It was really helpful, though, to recognize again where we're very successful, that we do very well at diagnosing and investigating health problems. That is a major strength where we are. We also do pretty well with developing policies and plans and enforcing laws and regulations, but there are many areas that which we needed as a system to come together and detail out how we were going to move forward. This is another piece of kind of how the system contributes to the model indicators in this local public health system assessment versus how the health department contributes. So in what's just been highlighted, you can see that for one of the model indicators, the health department really does contribute everything to that indicator, where the yellow meets the green. And then in the next one over, the health department contributes 75%, whereas the community health system contributes another 25%. And this is just another point of comparison. So then we also, of course, did what I always have called the standard community health status assessment. So this is looking at the hard data, what we know, what the surveys have shown us out there. And this is just one of 11 different indicators. So this is health resource measures. And we usually looked and compared Jefferson County to Alabama, which was a bit of a struggle for us looking at how localized do we get. I mean, we wanted to get all our data for Jefferson County when available, but do we compare it to Alabama? Do we compare it to the broader U.S.? And most of the time we elected to compare it just to Alabama. I marked down at the bottom of the screen that we also decided to indicate, because we were given a list from the MAP process of over 200 different indicators, we decided to list when we didn't know a source of data that was available. And I wanted to highlight this for anyone who's looking at doing this kind of a report, because I think what it's helped us do is to remember that there may be data out there that we didn't know about. That's one option on the table. The other part is we know that data and evaluation is something that we are lacking in our area. And so as we're trying to figure out what needs we have and what data should be collected, we should always be going back to this list of indicators and, you know, striving to get people to collect that and see where we can get funding for that. Last but not least, there is the forces of change assessment in the MAP process. And I need to check my time here. So we opted to engage the local public health system assessment participants through three different groups. They developed this list of trends, factors, and events that were impacting our county at the time. And from those four assessments, then we ended up with four strategic issues. So again, we did the community themes and strengths assessment, the local public health system assessment, community health status assessment, and forces of change assessment. And that's the MAP process, the assessment piece. And then you come up with strategic issues, and we ended up with healthy lifestyles, access to care, livable communities, and public policy. And since 2007, we have been in what's called the action cycle of the community, of the MAP cycle. So for us, that meant to establish leadership for these four strategic issues. And we strive to identify the appropriate agency to lead that strategic issue and then ask them to identify appropriate agencies for the goals that were within that strategic issue. This was the leadership that we have at this time. The health department is really considered the lead for this. We have our local community foundation, our local United Way, our local school of public health, and our business alliance that actually just transformed and merged with some other, the Birmingham Commerce Department or whatever it's called. So that's our leadership right now. And one of the challenges yet strengths of this partnership is that we have this kind of diversity, that we have people coming from different perspectives. It makes it very, very difficult sometimes. I will say on a most recent note, we've really been trying to figure out how to deal with high-calorie beverages and vending machines, whether they're in work sites or schools and whatnot. And because our local Coca-Cola bottling company is so involved on the board of Community Foundation and United Way, and they're obviously a large business, basically everyone I talk to is like, yeah, we're not dealing with that. Don't touch soda. We can't go there. And I'm like, but. So politics do play into this, but it's great to have these people at the table. And I've actually been meeting with one of the leaders at the local Coca-Cola bottling industry, and I think we're making great strides. So I now consider Coca-Cola a great partner in the fight against obesity. So we also worked on getting chairs of each of these goals, and this is the kinds of things that we asked from the goal chairs, and we ended up with several different chairs for these goals. Sometimes people wanted to co-chair a goal, which was fine, and then people, you know, couldn't make the commitment after a year, and so we'd have to reevaluate who would be the best chair and what agency makes sense, and is it really the person who's there or the agency that's there? And so that was a real process, and it's still an ongoing process as we move forward and try and figure out. The same kind of questions come up over and over again about time commitments and responsibilities. So to talk briefly about kind of where we're at now, under healthy lifestyles, we have the Jefferson County Childhood Obesity Task Force, which has been really a thriving group because of the nature of how kind of a hot topic obesity is right now. Pioneering Healthier Communities is led by our local YMCA. That's been a wonderful partnership, and both of those focus on healthy eating and physical activity. This is kind of the organizational chart for our healthy lifestyles strategic issues. So you can see that there's goals and the agencies that have been involved with those goals all meet with United Way folks. And then this is just kind of a side comment on how this is the new model of success, is that this guy parks across a bridge because it's cheaper, walks into work, and he's getting physical activity just during his day. And that's really what we're striving for, is to make sure our built environment is decreasing obesity. Under livable communities, which very much relates to the previous one, again, these are the partners on board who are leading up the different goals. One of our successes out of this is in trying to decrease litter, we found that youth were the major offenders, and so we are working very hard on a litter campaign, and these t-shirts were very cool and of interest to our local youth, so they say like cigarette butt or aluminum can on the front, and on the back it talks about how it's I am litter and how many pounds of aluminum cans are in our landfills and this kind of thing. So it's an educational campaign about what litter is, because apparently youth don't think of throwing cans out the window or cigarette butts as being litter. So that was a big switch for us. Third strategic issue was around access to care. And these are the partners. I'm going to scroll on through. We did have a cooperative agreement signed by the coordinating agencies. That was a major success that we did celebrate. This is the craziness of our organizational structure at this point with the partnership. It's very exciting, again, to have this kind of diversity of goals and leadership. It's also a great struggle to keep them out of their silos and working together and understanding why community safety is directly related to obesity in our county. One of the things I've struggled with is how many meetings is enough meetings to keep your partnership communicating and effective, and how many meetings just drives people away because they feel like it's become ineffective and there's not things progressing through from meeting to meeting. So what I want to recommend, really in trying to figure this out, because once I did the schedule, I thought I was going to get shot by the partnership, but what I recommend is really looking at coalition effectiveness and meeting effectiveness, and there's some tools online at coalitionswork.com from Fran Butterfoss, for those who are in the field who know her work and what she's been able to do around coalitions, that there's some great work there. We worked on logic models in our task forces, and that was really a success in trying to help people understand how to move forward as a whole, and this is kind of the logic model for the partnership. We did allot some minimal financial support to the strategic issues, and we've now set up a fund at our local community foundation to put interest earned into there from the health department to be able to support local groups through grants, which has been a huge success. We've had other successes in data collection. And then I wanted to show some pictures of what we're hoping are our future successes. We had Dan Burden from Walkable Communities come in and take photos and help us develop this kind of presentation for advocacy to our local city councils to show them what our community could look like if we would do that kind of a built environment piece. So this is a street very much down near downtown, just north of downtown, right next to this Pepper Place Market, which is this wonderful little market in our area. And this is what it would be like if we had bike lanes and trees put in, and what could develop over the years if we really invested in our community design and advocated more for complete streets. So this is another area of the city, which is near Legion Field, which is both a very unsafe place by community perception, as well as a highly used space. This is what it could look like if we added in sidewalks and bike lanes and, again, use the complete streets. And then this is next to our zoo. So already pretty beautiful, but very dangerous in terms of the road. And if we used road diets and put in medians and made it safer, what it could look like in our future. So thank you very much, and I'd be happy to take any questions.